Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, is Tell Del Tuesday, where we bring in a member to discuss what they did at Lifestyles. And this couple that we brought in today was really exciting over the last 11 years that they've been here. Now, I just got back from the expo, and one of the great classes that we always have is the passive investor class. These guys have been a part of that since the very beginning of it. They've been on many different panels, passive investor panels. And this last time we had women passive investors, and Lenora got on it. So with us today is Larry and Lenora Glover. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Dale. It's an honor to be chatting with you.
Let's share some stories. Lenora, I always love this story. I don't mind. I hope you don't mind telling it again, because the people who are listening right now probably never heard it, although you've been on two or three times. The story about how you found Larry, found love, but Larry was working and you were retired, and that just didn't work. Can you tell that story for us?
I love to tell the story, Dale, because it is a love story. When I was 49, my then husband died from a rare blood cancer, and at the time I thought I would never find another love anywhere near that. And after about 2 years, I tried dating a bit and decided that I was just not going to do that. I was happy with myself. I had married friends. I had single friends. I had hobbies. I belonged to organizations. I had a great life, and I was happy with that. And I told God, I said, God, if you intend for another man to be in my life, you're going to have to bring him to my front door. Well, 2 weeks later, my neighbor called. And she said, Lenora, I know it might still be a little early, but, and I thought, oh boy, but she said, there's this man that my husband works with, and he's been coming out to work on our computers, and he doesn't charge us anything, and he comes in from out here from Houston. We live in Katy. And she said, seems to be the kindest man. He's soft-spoken. He's always neatly dressed. Good haircut and nice smile, good teeth, and he has clean nails, fingernails. That was one of her criteria. So she said, I thought the four of us might have dinner together. And I thought, well, I can do the four of us for an hour or two, and I don't want to disappoint Raynell. And I guess Larry had the same feeling when they asked him. So the four of us went out to dinner. And Larry and I hit it off immediately. I think it was mostly because neither one of us had expectations, and we really didn't expect it to go any further. But ever since that night, we have been together almost constantly. And that was in 2007. And after knowing Larry for a little while, I asked him when he thought he'd be able to retire. And he said he thought he might never be able to retire because he wanted to continue his scuba diving in far off places like Brunei and Borneo and Tahiti and the Galapagos Islands. And it was just getting more and more expensive to make those trips. And of course, now he wanted me to go with him, so it would have been double the cost. And having experienced my husband die at a relatively young age, and he and I had worked, 12, 14-hour days, and one of us was almost out of town always on a project. One of us would be at home, one of us would be gone, sometimes internationally, sometimes out of state, sometimes in Texas, but too far to drive back and forth overnight. And I thought, no, we're not going to do this again. So I was determined to find a way for Larry to retire. And while I run errands, I usually listen to talk radio. and I happened to catch a Lifestyles Unlimited broadcast. It was about single-family homes. I was listening to it, and I thought to myself, you know, I could do that, and Larry could still work, and we could build an income to replace his, and then he could retire, and we could both do this. Well, Larry is the biggest skeptic I have ever met, and so I asked him if he would go to an intro meeting with me. He said that he would, and I knew he would find something to prove that it was a scam of some sort. So we went to the meeting, and afterwards, I was shocked. Larry wanted to join immediately. So we joined. We went to the two-day in January of 2014, and Larry retired in June of 2015.
1 year later. Wow. A year and a half. And 3 months. That's great. So, Larry, what did you think about all this? What's your side of this story?
Well, at first I was thinking, oh, yeah, blind date. That'll go great. And also, I didn't know that fingernails was such an important criteria that it's going to be.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to break in right here, Larry, because I've owned a senior citizen's place. And you guys, she's 49, and these are the criteria that have been brought into play, right? When you get to be 65 and older in the senior's place, they'd bring a new man in. There was eight women to every guy because men die. The women are the only ones alive, right? So there's 8-1 ratio. And they bring a new guy in, and they only ask two questions when you get to be over 65. All those other things, criteria, they all go away. Two questions. You know what they are? Can he walk, and does he have teeth? That's it.
Oh.
If you got that, you're in. Go ahead, Larry. Sorry to cut you off. I couldn't leave that out because of all the criteria she mentioned.
Okay. Well, like she said, when we started, I was a real skeptic, you know. I had tried real estate on my own, you know. I didn't really know how to do it. I moved out of one house to buy another house. So I had a house, okay, I can rent it out and start this real estate stuff. Well, I was going to be smarter than everybody else, so I wanted to make sure I got paid, so I rented it out to my friends. And guess how well that went.
Yeah.
So when she wanted to go to this lifestyle thing, I was like, oh, I know that's a scam. I'll go with you, and I'll show you where the scam is. So I came to the meeting with her, and the way you talked and presented yourself really impressed me. You didn't come across as somebody trying to pull a scam or trying to sell anybody anything. So for once, I actually listened to what you had to say. And when you got to the part about leverage, it was like my light bulb moment. It was, we both had business degrees, but I did not understand the difference between personal debt and commercial debt. And when you explained that to me, I saw how that could actually work. And from then on, I wanted to join.
Wow, it's a great story. So you went to the two-day then after that, right?
Yes.
So what did you guys, what were the aha moments at the two-day, if you can remember that far back? I know that's a long time ago now.
Well, like I said, mine was when you explained about leverage. And then at lunch, we were actually able to sit next to you at lunch, and we explained our situation to you. We both had houses that were paid for, and we bought another house together. So we thought we could take those two houses we had and rent them out and start doing single families. And once you heard about what we had and what our assets were, you immediately told us, no, forget the single family and go directly into multifamily. And so we did what you said.
And then the rest happened. 1 year later, you were able to retire?
Yeah, it was 16 months.
Let's talk about how you set up your plan. When you first started, you started buying passive deals. For people out there that are listening, what that means is some other Lifestyles member put the deal together and then offered opportunities for the Lifestyles passive members that didn't want to do the work to invest in their deal. So when you do that, you have to come up with some kind of a plan. And the plan is all the way from one side, I have no plan at all. I'm just going to invest in whatever hits me in the head. Or all the way to, I've got a very detailed plan. I'm only going to buy this many properties with this amount of money and only in these areas and only if the deals do these things and only if I like the lead and I know them. And so there's so many variables here. People think you just blindly invest. How were you guys setting yours up in the beginning? And then we'll talk about how it's changed since COVID and all the other stuff that's gone on. But in the beginning, how did you guys set it up?
Well, so always, from the beginning, we always looked for a good lead. That seemed to be the most important point. Since we weren't going to be managing the property, we'd have a lead that knew what he was doing and would be good at doing it. So we looked first for a good lead.
How did you analyze that?
Attending case studies and the road trips and networking and personally meeting the leads. The first one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. First nine leads we invested with, we personally knew and had faith in them. And, of course, the deals had to work, too. And initially, we did want yield plays. Our first six deals were yield plays, meaning they paid off in the first quarter of operations. And then the next one we got into was a value play. And, you know, 6 months goes by, and Larry says, "Where's the check from this property?" And I said, "It's not a yield play." He said, "What?" So, he said, "What's that mean?"
I thought they all were supposed to be yield plays.
But he says, "Oh, okay."
So now looking back here, that this many years, let's see, if you're 14 to 25, that'd be 11 years. Looking back, thinking the lead was the most important aspect on this deal. How did that turn out? Did those nine leads end up being well chosen?
Yes, they did. One of the properties has returned 245%, and we still own it, still getting distributions. This year, it is 16% annualized, and they're looking at refinancing for a third time just as soon as the interest rates kind of settle in and it makes sense. And another of the properties has returned 212%. We still own it. It is still making distributions. A third property has returned 177%, continues making distributions. So, yes, they've done very well. One of the leads is one of those that he was good until he wasn't. We got into a couple of deals early on. They're good deals. They're still paying distributions, but he has since left Lifestyles. And we no longer invest with him.
So things do change. There's no doubt about that. Lynn's favorite saying, they're all good until they're not, is
that's right.
Something we all find out eventually, that there are some people that their lives change and they decide.
And others that don't. Know. Others that are just steady eddies, and you can just count on them.
So I have another question and go a little deeper into this. When you guys decide, okay, we met these people, because in the beginning you were meeting everybody, you were making decisions based on, you knew the leads, you were comfortable. Here's a careful question. Does one of the two of you have that sense? My wife has that sense. The hair on the back of her head goes up if she doesn't like somebody. She just senses it. I have that same sense for some odd reason that, you know, when somebody is uncomfortable, I just immediately feel that. My wife says I don't have it enough. She has it much more. Do one of you have that innate ability, or do you both just sit down and have like a powwow? What did you find? What did you see? Did you dual analyze it? Or do you have one person you rely on? Share that like I'm a fly on the wall. Tell me how this stuff works.
Yes, in meeting a person or talking with a person over the phone, I do generally have an intuition as whether or not I want to invest with them. And if it's I question it at all, we don't invest. Larry sometimes has it, and we do both. And we also... If we think we both want to move forward, we do sit down and have a powwow and compare experiences and analyze. We analyze a PPM and operating agreement and MFQA independently, and then we get together and talk about it.
Excellent. So let's talk about volume. How did you regulate your volume? We talk about, you know, did you have, we're going to regulate our volume by how much we put in each deal. So we're going to do these slices of 50,000 or 100,000, whatever tranches. Or did you regulate your volume by, we're only going to do one deal per month or quarter or year? How did you regulate your volume getting into this?
It was more by just what deals we come across that we thought would be a good investment. You know, we had enough money to deploy, and we were just looking for good deals so we could find them. So it's pretty much been just as we found good deals.
Okay. I will add that early on, because we wanted Larry to retire, we invested larger amounts of money than we typically do now. We've become more conservative on how much we invest in each deal.
And that's a perfect place to take a break, because when we come back, we're going to talk about how did all those plans change after COVID. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Larry and Lenore Glover and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
The roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today with me here on Tell Del Tuesday is Larry and Lenore Glover, members for 11 years. And we've just been tiptoeing through the past here. Now we're going to bring it up a little bit further into the future. Guys, the COVID era changed how lifestyles performed, operated, got to people, took care of our members. We had to bring everything online. And before that, everything was personal and you knew everybody, and it was, you know, it was like you joined a family and friends, and you were just part of what we were doing. After COVID, we had to shut all that stuff down for a period of time, and it's been hard to bring it back. I'm working as hard as I can, but it has been hard. So what changed in your investment strategy once you couldn't go meet everybody anymore?
I guess I'll answer that. pardon me. We know passives and leads in other markets other than Houston, and if a PPM, you know, crosses our path due to a connection on Podium, if it seems like a good deal, we will reach out to another passive in that area or in our area that may know them and ask for their opinion. That okay. Plus the deal wise, we are much more aware of the loan to value and also the interest rate versus the cap rate. You know, those are one of the first two things we look at now. And we have attended online sessions, and they have been great considering the external circumstances we were working in. But we have returned to the case studies, and it makes a lot of difference meeting people in person. Plus, you meet new passes that have tons of questions that they want to ask, and you get more of that closeness and family feeling and secure feeling in the knowledge that you're obtaining. Larry did meet a man at Expo last year that happens to be Larry's same age when we were walking back and forth to the convention center, and he has called Larry several times over the past, 6-7 months to discuss deals or investing strategy. And at Expo 2025, and just let me say, wow, Expo 2025. It was the best, most spectacular event we've had. And I think Larry met with him for like an hour and a half in the hotel lobby. And it's been that personal connection that's coming back that really makes the difference. The person you're talking with can really tell if you're sincere about what you're saying.
So now you've led me in a different direction here. You said that the expo was really great. I've actually heard that, like, more than I've ever heard it in any other expo we've ever had, that this was the best.
Yes.
Can you tell me why? And I'm not fishing for a compliment here. I'm just trying to figure out, so I don't do it wrong next time I do it, right? What was so good about this one that we, you know, I mean, we've spent time and money on all of them, but for some reason people really like this one. Can you tell us what you felt was, you know, the guiding light here?
You know, it's a bit of an elusive factor, but I think the most of it, the classes, you know, are always, the seminars, breakout sessions are always great. And the presenters, you know, they'll stay as long as they can to answer questions. And we had, I think, more presenters from within Lifestyles. And we also, of course, enjoy the vendor presentations on taxes and estate and along those lines. But it was the networking. You know, people were just coming up to you. I was sitting in the lobby at the convention center, and a man sat down next to me. He happens to be of Egyptian ethnicity. He's been in the States for decades. He has his American citizenship. He's only really getting started in Lifestyles. And so we talked about investment strategy and how do you know how much you want to deploy and how do you get to know the leads. So, you know, give some lead recommendations. And then he did not have a ticket to get in to the mixer on a Saturday afternoon. And he went and got the ticket, and he kind of followed us around. And then the networking luncheons on Saturday, there were three young women at our table, all three from out of state, one from New York, one from New Jersey. Two were aspiring leads. One was a passive. And she said, I'm going to follow you around at the mixer and meet everybody. it was that, and then the party on the plaza, that was so great. The weather was perfect. You had, you know, outdoor seating. You had covered seating. You had great music. The food was good. You could have drinks if you wanted. You could wander around. You meet new people. You meet people you already know. We had a little table. Larry met an aspiring lead in line, and he came and sat with us, and we discussed our experiences, and he told us where he, you know, his intended plans. It was the opportunity for the connection and for the conversations that was so great. Plus, we know a young man, he's in his mid-30s in Oklahoma. He happens to be single, and he's trying to do single-family homes. And one of the case studies, you offered cards or passes for deeply discounted base membership. And we acquired two of those, sent one to him. He joined, and he called. He said, should I come to this expo? We said, absolutely. He came. Of course, he went to different breakout sessions because he's single family. And when he walked with us over to your keynote address. One of the things that he said just hit my heart squarely. He said, I have found my people. And I think that is what Expo is about. You are with your people, and you can talk to them about business. You can talk to them about family. And it was just a feeling of gathering as an extended family. We met a couple from Waco that used to live in Dallas that are good friends with friends we have in Dallas. We did Thursday's bus tour. They sat right behind us on the bus tour, and we're lifetime friends now. So it's making those not only business connections, but those personal connections. And
so you led me another direction again. What did these people think of the bus tour? Because that is la creme de la creme way to learn real estate is to go out and actually see it. What did they think about that?
They thought it was fabulous. They, on the tour, the bus that we were on, we went to an apartment complex in which we're partners, and we were just blown away. Of course, we'd read all about what had been done, but when you see it, it's like, wow, this place is great and provides a home for these people. I think that is what hits when you are on the bus tour and you see the apartment complexes and you see the courtyards, you see the other amenities that are provided, such as the gazebos or pavilions and the outdoor kitchens. And one of our properties has half a soccer field. And you realize, you fully realize, this is the resident's home. They have other family there. They get in. They like it. They refer other family. They refer other friends. They have their own community there, and they're proud of it.
You just defined the fact that Lifestyles is our family, but what we've done at Lifestyles is teach people how to go out there and create other homes and places for people to live, best product, best price, because it's their family. Guys, let's do a quick recap. You've purchased how many total apartment complexes over the last 11 years, and how many of them do you still have?
We have been in a total of 64 deals, and active right now are 42.
64 down to 42, so the other ones have sold off. And now that you've gone through 2 years of the worst real estate market I've seen in 35 years of my life of being in real estate market. We had two. Let's see, this is 2005. It's a great year now. 2004 was a recovery year. So it was really 2002, 2003 where these deals would be putting together with these adjustable rate mortgages. And people were getting locked into these interest rate rises and increases in interest rates that just kind of hammered them. How did you fare out of that, and how are you doing now? Did you get through those or did you take some losses on that?
We did get through those. About two-thirds of the properties stopped making distributions, holding cash, because they just didn't know what was coming. And about a third of them continued with distributions, but at a reduced rate. But we fared very well. We didn't alter our lifestyle. We live below our means, and they are coming back. Some of those that had stopped making distributions are back. A couple have managed to refinance, actually, out of variable rate loans, and we're caught in a couple that are really struggling. We barely stick our toe out of the edge of the box that you draw. We pay for it.
Yeah, that's the sad truth. You know why the box is there? Because I've got 34 years of people showing me what you can do wrong.
I know.
Every time somebody figures out how to do something new wrong, I put it down. Okay, here, there's another one we don't want to do, right?
Right, so. Right. I know. We're part of the group that you termed irrational.
Irrational exuberance.
Yes, yes. We're part of that group. So we've had to pull back our exuberance and say, oh, this will work because.
Well, when you do, you know, you got 64 deals and you do 30 or 40 of those in a row and they all just rock. You go, well, I can't make a mistake here. There's no way this could go wrong.
And, no, we've turned down deals, but they were pretty obvious.
Well, that's good.
But you're right. So you build that confidence and you look and you think, well, this will work because, and then now, you know, you're looking at the projected rent raises and saying, oh, are they really going to be able to do that? So it has to work from day one.
So now that we're back out of COVID now, are you guys attending the case studies? I think we have one tonight. Are you attending the case study?
Yes. Yes, we have been attending those.
Good.
In fact, the last one we went to, we met a young lead that is looking for his second deal. We talked to him afterwards. And so we're on his contact list now. You know, you had during the expo, you had a couple panels of, you had the old guard that were there. And then you had the new ones cycling in. And it was interesting that, you know, one, John Boryak was on both of those. The old guard took him under their wing eventually and groomed him. And now the old guard is retiring. And a lot of our original leads have retired because that was their goal. And now John is there as a representative of the old guard to help bring up, you know, the newer, younger leads, just as an example for them and to help mentor them. And so we're having to switch and find, okay, we don't have these leads anymore. And going from leads that their goal was retirement, going to leads where they're looking at this as their business, a lifetime of investments and properties and going forward, because they still have young families or not even any families yet. So they're going to be in it probably for the longer term, and maybe will carry us through until we don't need anything anymore.
I thought it was interesting the way it lined up that all these guys let John Boryak hang out with them when he was just a kid, like 16, 17 yeah. years old. He was hanging out with them. And then all of a sudden he became 18. He got his first deal. Now he's like 35, 36, 37. I don't know exactly, but he's already got like 7 apartment complexes. And right. then all of a sudden you turn around and you've got these 4 other kids there. They're all in their 20s. Right. I guess one guy was 32, and yeah. they've already been doing apartment complexes. And the look on John's face when I said, you know, John, you know, you've always been the kid around here, and now you're the old guy.
You're not.
Guy.
You're the old guy.
The look on his face like would have killed if you could see it. If we can find the video, I got to catch that and just clip that picture of the look on his face when I told him, now you're the old guy. And he's like, no, I don't want to be the old guy. But, you know, I mean, he is.
And John's probably the only lead that we would invest in more than 3 or 4 deals with concurrently. And because it is a business, well, it's more than a business. It's his business. He treats it as a business. And he also, you know, opens his arms and includes in his family and nurtures the communities that he builds. So
yes, he does. Yeah. Not only that, he believes that, you know, all stakeholders, his employees are important, his tenants are important, his passives are important, everybody he deals with, vendors are important. So he's got the integrity necessary to grow. All right, guys, thanks for being on today. Really enjoy it, and look forward to seeing you at the case. So the rest of you out there, remember this, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.